Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. I greet our radio listening audience with the greeting of peace. Assalamu alaikum. This is Salim Mu'min, and I welcome you to Muslim American Logic. Today we're going to be looking at Surah. Let me check the Surah here. Okay, Surah 24, verse 30. And we may take a couple of weeks with this. This is not from the class. This is from one of the classes. But, yes, this is from one of the classes. Surah 24, verse 30. And we're looking at the topic, the idea of hijab. But in this verse, hijab is not mentioned. This is what prompted us to speak on this subject from one of the class to go to these verses in this concept of hijab. And in doing so, I would like to mention that, yes, this has been an ongoing discussion with various Muslims, this concept of hijab. But what we want to do is look at the Quran first and see what the Quran is saying. And before I even start, I want to say that the reason this discussion is ongoing and many discussions is the same as when Islam started in its early days with Muhammad the Prophet, the present peace be upon him, is that many people, they submitted, but faith had not entered their hearts, meaning that they didn't accept a lot of things, and they didn't want to change from the old life that they had before. And it took a long time for them to make changes, a long time, even up until today. They kept a lot of things that was not good. They didn't accept it when it came to them. And that's the same now. A lot of people have these discussions because they don't want to accept certain things and change their lifestyle. They're very slow at changing. But they understand what's being said. So I'm saying that to say I'm not making this presentation to get feedback from people who don't accept it. And I'm not doing it to convince anyone of anything, because we have to get to where, and I have to move to where when I'm making presentations, I'm not making presentations to convince someone who don't accept it, to try to get them to accept it. So that's not the purpose here. We want to begin reading. And let me say, our purpose is learning Quranic Arabic and learning how we use Arabic to define Arabic. We can use Arabic to define Arabic. And this is our purpose. So let us start. in the verse 24-30, it begins Kul Lil Mu'minina Yaguddu Min Absarihim Wa Yahfadu Wa Yahfadu Furujahum Dhalika Azka Lahum Inna Allaha Khabirun Bima Yasna'un. So it reads Kul. Now when we say Kul, say, we pause. We don't read it into the next word. Not Kulil Mu'minina. We say Kul, and then we pause. Say, as though we put a colon there. Then we say Lil Mu'minina, for the believers. And because of the next verse, it's going to say Lil Mu'minat. So many translators will say for the believing men, because they're going to take the masculine and make it the believing men. So I would read it, say, and this is what you say, Lil Mu'minina, not Kul Lil Mu'minina, say to the believing men, say, pause, for the believing men, Yaguddu, this is Yaguddu, you have a Yah here, Yaguddu, not Taguddu. Taguddu, you would have it as a, in the sense of the Joseph of like the Joseph in terms of commanding, with the commanding spirit. But here is Yaguddu, them, or they, Lord, but there's something missing to make it Joseph. It could be Joseph, or it could be subjunctive, because the noon is dropped. When you have the noon dropped in the present tense, it's either Joseph or subjunctive. So there's a particle that has to be, that's not there, that's assumed to make it subjunctive or Joseph. If you say, Kul lil mu'minina and, say, Lil Mu'minina in, say to the believing men that they lore. Or you could say Kul Lil Mu'minina, and the li of command is understood. Li Yaguddu, say, pause, for the believing men. Let them, for the believing man, let them lower. In that sense, it would be Joseph. Now, I would read it with in the Joseph with Li Yaguddu, pausing with Kul. Others may read Kul into Liladina, where Liladina would be the object of Kul. And with the idea of that, say to the believing men that. But I will read it. Say, for the believing men, let them lower. Absarihim. Let them lower their gaze or their sight or their eyes. Let them lower their eyes. Web yah. Yahfadu furujahum. Yahfadu furujahum. And here, we will probably get to it in the tafsir. And preserve, protect, furujahum, their private parts. Their privates. Or cover. You can say, or cover. Yashfadu furujahum, their private. This is the idea that we get from the Imam when he was saying that the women should be covered. If they wear pants, and you see this with certain women, they should wear something loose that covers the private parts. The private parts down to their thighs or knees, if they wore pants or something that to cover their legs. And then we would get to the other, and men. The men should wear something long, a long shirt that will cover themselves. That's the idea. So we do find in Muslim countries where their clothes, the men's clothes, they go down below the knee. They may wear some type of shirt or covering that will go down below the knee or go down to the waist. In fact, there's a young man who he makes clothes in Ghana. You all saw the clothes we were wearing in Ghana. We had those clothes made there. A lot of the clothes, if you saw the picture of the wedding, those clothes were made in a couple of days. They were made for us. They made those clothes. They could make them real quick. And it was making the women clothes real quick. They give them the design, the idea, they go and they make them. So I had a couple of shirts made in a couple of days, just from my own personal clothes. It's a kind of a cross between the Ghanaian look and the European American look, with the European collar and everything, but the shirt goes down to my thighs. It covers the private part. That's what I'm getting at. So I'm trying to make a cross between what I saw in Ghana in terms of a Ghanaian, because Ghanaians have their own look. A Ghanaian look crossed with an American look, what we would call a European American look, cross the two in designing a shirt. Furuja. So you can see in their clothes, they cover the furuj. It covers it. Then there's a three-piece. Those clothes that we were wearing, most of them are three-piece, some two and some three. Furuj. So in that sense, we would say that the clothes are Islamic. A young man came in. He had on some clothes. We were all together. All of the chiefs, we were all together in the room, and other men. Just one came in. He had on clothes covered and everything, but you could look right away, and it was either Palestinian or Saudi. Look, it wasn't Ghanaian. You could tell right away. He set out like a sore thumb. So then I could see the dress of the Ghanaians have their own dress. Some of the tribes have their own dress. The hats. The Ghanaians, the Bisa people have their hats, but the Hausa have their hats. And the Hausa's hats are very popular. It's a lot of Hausa's, the Hausa tribe, there's a lot of them in Ghana. It's one of the largest tribes in Ghana, along with the Ashantis, but they have their own hats. So you know a Hausa hat. So anyway, once you're in a place like that, you can start seeing distinction. But what makes them Islamic? What makes the Hausa hat Islamic? And what makes the Russian hat Islamic? But the Russian hat doesn't look like the Hausa hat. They look different. But what makes them both Islamic, if we want to call them Islamic or Islamic culture, is that they don't have brims. Because the hats without the brim, without any brim on it, would allow you to keep your head covered when you make salat. So because of that, because of the religion, practicing the religion, we see this commonality in all of the hats, even though they look different. The Moroccan fez, the Moroccans have their look. We call it a Moroccan fez. They all have their own look, distinct. But what makes them all common is that you can make salat in them. And this is with the clothes. What would make all of the clothes across the board, because this is Quran, across the board, all of our clothes would have to have a design where the shirt or the top covers the furuj. No matter if it's Nehru collar, what I'm calling the European collar, like a white shirt collar, a turtleneck collar, whatever, the essence of all of it would have to cover, it have to go and cover the furuj, which would have to go at least down to the thigh to cover the furuj. Because it's Quran. This is where we're extracting from the Quran, even though it's have a higher meaning. Maybe not, we'll look at Ibn Arabi and look at the Imam, and, or Ibn Arabi, because we can look real quick with Ibn Arabi and see the idea of Yahfadu Furujahum having a higher meaning. And it does. But we can also see how we can extract from the Quran when we're addressing the social, moral issue of wearing clothes and styling clothes and fashioning clothes to cover the furuj. Reading it literally. So that would be common in the clothes. So that's something for us to think about. Now, we have to move from wearing T-shirts, two sizes so small, and it's cut just to the waist. We have to move from that type of top, those type of clothes, tucking shirts inside the pants, wearing tight pants, skinny jeans and all. We have to move from that type of dress to a dress that's more in line with and remind us of what we read in the Quran. Many of us, because we prefer to wear the shirt in our pants, we're talking men now, not the women. We'll talk to women next week. We prefer to wear our shirts inside of our pants with no other garment, not a third piece. We need another piece. We need a shirt in the pants. Then we have to wear a coat or something over that shirt when we're in the public so that that coat, when we close it, it will cover the furuj. But just to wear the shirt in the pants, without the furuj being covered, we've lost the sign. We've lost the sign of Yahfadu Furujahum in our cultural dress as Muslims, no matter where we are in the Muslim world. We have lost it. But when we're in the Muslim world, whether it's Palestinian, whether it's Arabian, whether it's Ghanaian or Nigerian or Moroccan, it will still have the idea of covering the furuj, and the headpiece will not have the brim. We will see both. We will see that. But now we're in a country where even the men would not want to adhere to this, and they would prefer to put their shirt inside the pants and say, "I'm okay." Then we have lost. We've lost this. We have lost this reminder in our dress. We don't have the symbol of this in our dress to remind us of this verse. We're not rehearsing the Quran in our dress. But we are saying it's okay. It's okay. Because we don't want to change. So now, this why here, this why could be called the Atfun Tafsir. Atfun Tafsir. That is the conjunction of explanation. Because when you say Yaguddu min absarihim wa yahfadu furujahum, yahfadu furujahum is really explaining Yaguddu min absarihim. By the way. By the conjunction way. So we call it Atful Tafsir. It's the conjunction of explanation, because what's going to come after it is explaining, clarifying what came before it. So lowering the vision, your sights, your eyes, is actually guarding your private parts, covering your private parts. So it's not everyone walking around not watching where they're going. It's giving it to you here, in case you don't understand. Yaguddu min absarihim. Then we say, Dalika ezka. That is more pure. I don't know if I can say pure. That's pure. I would say pure, not more pure. Pure. lahum for them. Inna Allah khabirun. Surely Allah is aware. Bima yasnaun. Of what they manufacture. I think that would be a good word in light of what we're saying. We manufacture, and we keep it in the context of clothes right now. Manufacture is a good word. Allah is aware of what they manufacture. What they design, what is designed from your own thinking without pretending you don't understand what these words are saying on, just on the social level, dealing with the culture of making clothes. The moral excellence of designing clothes. And it's the problem that we have. We're talking men, not women. We a lot of times we like to look over this verse and go to the women's verse, addressing women. That's just men first. The men do not want to adhere to this idea. Many men don't in this country, amongst the newcomers in the religion, because they don't want to change. So they want to overlook it, or it sounds confusing. Let's have another discussion. Because it's not in the heart. Belief has not entered the heart. Allah is saying, lil mu'minina. Not lil muslimina. Lil mu'minina. Not those who have submitted, but they have submitted and they have faith. Faith has entered the heart. Okay, so that's a short presentation on that grammatically. So we're looking at Ibn Kathir. He would say, Hadha Amrun, this is, and you have men Allahi. I'm going to go a little bit slow with the grammar, but I'm going to speed it up some. So I want you today, as the saying goes, I want you to catch the bird while it's flying. I'm not going to hold the bird on the ground for you to catch. We're going to let the bird fly, but you have to catch the bird while it's flying. So we're going to say, Hadha Amrun, men, because men would not be a second term possessive. So it would not be Hadha Amrun. Hadha Amrun. So therefore, Hadha becomes the Mubtada. And I'm not going to translate the Arabic for you because I don't think I need to. I think most of you should be familiar. If not, you will be familiar with this soon. If you're not in the Mali system of learning Quranic Arabic, I would advise you to sign up for the classes. And for those of you that's in the classes, you'll be getting to this soon. So it's good to start hearing words. Hearing certain Arabic terminology. Hadha Amrun. This is a command. Last week we had Hadha El Amru. We would say this is this command. This, if it was the El Aflam, we would say this command, or this the command, this command is from Allah. But now we write, this is a command. So we have the mubtada, the khabar, and then the prepositional phrase. Is a command from Allah. Ta'ala. So we have this word a lot. And we went over this word in one of the classes, ta'ala. So ta'ala is we found it to be a verb in the in form 6, the Allah, meaning high, exalted, right? And I found in the Quran where it says Allah is high, the Allah, but it's just one word. So there must be an ellipsis that goes with this word, because Arabic, when we're reading Arabic, Quranic Arabic, there we should read it word with ellipsis. The one word gives us a full thought, but we don't have to say the whole thought. We just say the one word, the Allah. So most time we read it, it's from Allah, the Most High. We say the Most High. But it's not even saying the Most High. It's not, it's high. The Allah, we would say, is he's high. He's exalted, he's high above Allah, Meh, Yeshkurun. High above what they share, what they share with him in terms of attributes. It's the Allah. Because we share in attributes with Allah. Now, I have to say this without you thinking I'm saying that we're Allah's gods and we're God. We share in attributes. Allah is merciful, we're merciful. So you see someone, his name is Rahman, Allah is Rahman. But Allah is Ar-Rahman. So all of the attributes that we say are the attributes of Allah, they're attributes of man too. We share. But Allah is high above the attributes that we share. I hope you understand. So we say, Min Allahi Ta'ala. He's high above the attributes that we share with him. So whatever attribute that we see in ourselves, the attributes is the highest knowledge or the highest concept that we find in ourselves. The attributes that we share with Allah is the highest form of description that we find for ourselves. So when we say Rahman, we say Rahman, Allah is higher than the mercy that we can conceive of in ourselves or in Allah. He's high above that. Be merciful, but high above that. So we say Allah Ta'ala, li'ibadihi, to his servants, al-mu'minina, the believers. So this is a command, amrun, kul. So if he's saying this is a command, is he saying that kul is the command or yaguddu is the command? Hadha amrun min Allahi ta'ala li ibadihi al-mu'minina, to his servants, the believers. Now, he says, and yaguddu, and if this is that they lower, min absarihim, so he may say that they lower, min absarihim, amma harrama alayhim, he may lower their eyes or gaze away from what has been prohibited for them. Fele yanduru. So they do not look. Yanduru. They do not look. That, if you say, fele, that they do not look. That, fele. You got and la together. You got fa, then you have the elef, and then you have la. This will be ella instead of an la. That they yanduru, and then yanduru becomes the jessel because of the an. Ella. You got an la or ella. Say fella yanduru, that they do not look illa except Lima Abaha, except to what? Abaha becomes permissible. Lahum, for them, anadaru. Anadaru meaning except what sights or what looks or what glances becomes permissible, permitted, or permissible, what has become permissible for them. Elehi, the look, you could say the look, the glance, or we could say in respect to another Elehi, except in respect to what is permissible for them. Another Elehi is like an idiom, meaning that in respect to it, the glances, in respect to it. But literally, that they are not to look at, they are not to look except at that which is permissible for them to look at. This is the idea of lowering the gaze. Yagudu menapsarihim. Do not look at that which you are not supposed to look at. Wa'en yagmadu or yagmudu, that you close epsarahum, your eyes, and Anil Muharram, meaning of those who you are not married to, that you turn away from those that you are not married to, meaning that you can only look at your wives. You're only to see your wives. Fa'in, it tafaqa, and waqa'a al-basaru, and if it happens, it tafaqa, if it happens accidentally, and that waqa'a al-basaru, that the eyes fall ala al-Muharram upon someone that's not permissible for you to see accidentally. Min ghairi qasdin, without intention. Fel Yasrif, then turn Basarahu, his eyes, then let him turn. Fel Yasrif, then let him turn. Now it's saying let. Then let him turn away his eyes, anhu, from it, Sari'an, quickly. Quickly. Just a little, something little here, story comes to mind. No, I'll skip it. It takes too much time. So if by accident you see someone who's not a woman, well, let's stick with the men. If a woman see a man who's not properly dressed, and he's not her husband, then she should turn her eyes away from him quickly. Fast. Now, in this society, we have men that goes improperly dressed according to what we're reading in the Quran. But we're not sensitive enough in our faith, and we're not knowledgeable enough in the Quran, and we see them, and we're going to get to it, and we begin to have feelings for them in our soul. Speaking of the women, I'm usually speaking as a man, but I'm saying the women will have these feelings for the men in their souls. that they should not have. We will get to it in the tafsir, inshallah. So you should turn away quickly. This is the idea of that we have in us shame. That we have shame. Some things are shameful. We don't get it because of our shame. We walk in on someone, or walk or see someone, because we don't have shame. We will look and not turn away from it. The society has the men and the women dressing in a way that we have no shame. They put it on TV and pictures, even the Muslims. One thing I do, because I have to teach the religion, because I have to teach the Quran to our people, because I do teach the Quran to our people, even just in the Mali classes, I have to know the mentality of the people. I have to see the mentality of the people. And I can see a lot of our mentality on Facebook. A lot of people write it off, that's foolishness. No, somehow we have to go and look to see how people think, where the minds are. If we're going to teach Quran, we have to know where the minds of the people are. And they put up pictures all the time of men and women that are shameful pictures, even of themselves. They do shameful things of themselves, and they don't know to turn away from it because of this society. Men and women. And they think in their own mind that they are supposed to be the reporters. It's called social media. See, TV is the traditional media, conventional media, whatever they call it. It sends pictures and messages in our homes. Then we have social media. It also has an influence that when we go to it and engage in it, it also has an influence that comes into our homes, into our minds. They both do now. And they both, to our young people, our youth, our families, they both are being influenced by both kinds of what we call media. And they both are sending, or I should say, the Muslims think, the one who wants to say that they're conscientious, they send pictures and language into the minds of the people that's shameful. But they feel they're supposed to report the shame. And then say, this is a shame. If it's a shame, why did you put it up there? كما روى عن جرير ابن عبد الله البجلي رضي الله عنه قال, and this is the person's name. He said, سألتُ النبي, I asked the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I don't have to translate for you all, about nadratu, nadrati faj'ati, al-faj'ati, nadrati al-faj'ati. Two nouns come together, one has the alif lam, one doesn't. So it's because of the preposition, it's going to automatically be nadrati al-faj'ati. So he says, I asked him about looking nadrati al-faj'ati inadvertently. This is the hadith now. This becomes in the form of hadith. He said, I asked the prophet, and Nabi, the prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about looking inadvertently. Fa'amarani, so he commanded me, and that asrafa, that I turn away. That I turn away basari, my sight, my vision, my eyes. That I turn my eyes away. Call that Rasulullah, and he said, Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, li Ali, to Ali, Laya Ali. Oh, do not, O Ali. Tatabia, do not follow another attack. Do not follow your eyes. Looking. Do not follow your eyes. Saying it twice. Do not obey or follow your eyes. For in leke el ule. For in leke el ule. In leke el ule. Then surely for you is the first. The first look. Walesa leke el akhira. And it is not for you the last look, the second look, the last look. So this is the idea that the first time you look inadvertently, but you don't look the second time. Now this is something I have to say. I'm going to give an example of what I'm saying, even in myself. We were out passing out we were at an event, and we were passing out information about pamphlets about Islam. And it was, it was dusk around, right before, it wasn't dark. It's around Maghrib time. It was around Maghrib time. So it was just maybe right before the streetlights come on. It's dusk. You can see, but you can't see. And this woman had on a dress. And they wear dresses like this. And I see people put them up on Facebook. And they just show Beyonce in one of them. And she has this material. It looks like it's a mesh. The dress is a mesh, meaning that it's the material. Look like it's stitched with the holes in it. You can see through it. It's mesh. It's all mesh. Most of it. And then there is this material that she's wearing. It looks like it's made under the mesh. I know the women know the dress I'm talking about. There's a material that goes with the mesh, and the material matches the skin, her skin color, so perfectly. It makes it look like she's naked under the mesh. She only have on the mesh without the other material. That's what it make you think that. And it made me think that. So she walks by, and I just see this woman in a mesh dress, and everything else is her skin. So my mind is not to gawk at her, but my mind was to, I said to myself, no, she didn't. She could not have. There's no way that woman could have went in this affair and wore a dress like that where she's naked underneath. You could see through the mesh. I said, but I had to look a second time just to be sure my eyes didn't play tricks on me. So I look a second time. Then I see the material. The prophet is saying, you look the first time, don't look the second time. You don't get the second look. You're not supposed to look again. But I had to, because I told myself I had to, and it's not right. I couldn't believe that she would have dressed like that. What's the world coming to? That was in my head. Because she had walked on past me. But the dress was designed to get my attention like that. And it did. It didn't get my attention to follow her down the street, get her phone number and all of that. It made me look. It forced me to look. That's how strong this society we live in, with the fashion designers, that's how strong they are. And we won't let it go. And what I'm reading is too simple. It's too simple to follow. What I'm reading now, what I read in the Quranic verse, and what I just read in the Hadith that goes with the Quranic verse, is too simple for anyone not to understand what was being said. What's difficult is the society makes it so difficult, we don't want to do it. We don't want to make the men The men do not want to have fashion where they are covering their private parts when wearing pants, because they don't want to, because the society, the popular culture has a grip on the men. We don't want to change. We will talk about the women next week. It's too simple. So this is for the women. They get one look. They get one look inadvertently. They don't get the second look. The first look is inadvertently. The second look is haram. ولما كان النظر دائرتين that when the look, another becomes what can that becomes that iatan, the cause or a cause or reason, ilas fasadi, for the corruption of the heart, al qalbi, ilas fasad al qalbi, fasad al qalbi, lizalika, to that. Amara Allahu bihazil furuj. Likewise, Allah commands the covering of the private parts when it is going to corrupt the heart. Then He commands covering up. كما مر بحظ الأبصار بحظ. This should be بحظ. There's the fad that's missing. بحظ الأبصار التي هي بواعث إلى ذلك. As Mara, it has been explained or said, the protection or the preserving or the covering the eyes. So he's saying here, he's showing this idea of why I'm going to scroll up, why I am saying this wow becomes the wow of tafsir. Because he's saying here is that just as it has been mentioned of the eyes, yagudu min absarihim, is closing the eyes or covering the eyes, closing or covering, yagudu, to look away or lower. It has been said in terms of the Bihadhi Furuj. So the covering of the private parts, if it's going to cause corruption in the heart, then the covering of the private parts is just as we're saying closing or covering the eyes. Elatihiya bawa'ithun, as it is the reason or reason for that. It's the reason for that. It arouses in you the reason that you should cover, because it will corrupt you. So here he's given the idea that they're both saying the same thing, that one is explaining the other, covering the eyes or covering the private parts. It's the same. It's not difficult to understand what's being said. فَقَالَتْ عَلَىٰ, thus he says, the Most High, كل المؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم, which we have read. كل, say, for the believing men, let them close, lower, or turn away vision and cover, or as a way of covering their private parts, or covering the private parts, meaning the same idea. Well, harmful phrenology and the covering of the private part, teratan once, yakunu bi men ihi, bi men ihi, men azina. And covering the private parts only, we can say only, will be preventing from fornication or adultery. Kamag, call that the Allah, Waladina whom li furujihim havidu, and those they are to their private parts covering or protectors, preservers, where they're not mentioning lowering the gaze. If they just mention the private parts only, this is to prevent one from entering into fornication or adultery. Wataratan yakunu, or only that it will be fi hafzihi min nadari ilayhi, or once or only that it will be the protecting of the glance or glancing at it, kama ja'a fil hadith, as it comes or mentioned in the hadith. Ihfiz means cover or preserve aurataka, your aura is the private area. That's that whole area. Illa min zawjatika, except from your wife or your husband. Aw ma malakat yaminuka, or what your right hand possess, that you would cover except for your spouse. This is the idea. That your covering is that they are not able to see you. Zalika azka lahum, and that is pure for them. So he's going to explain of it being pure for them, meaning I adharu, cleaner or pure for them. Cleaner or pure, liqulubihim, for their heart. Be anqa li dinihim, and it will be cleaner in terms of their religion. Kama qila, as it is said, man havida basarahu aw rasahu Allahu nuran fi basiratihi. Whoever covers their sight, his sight, Allah will cause him to inherit a light in their eyes, in their sight, in their vision. Nur, to see clearly in their vision. Wa fi as-sahih, and in the a sound tradition, an Abi Huraira, on the authority of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, and nahu qala, that he said, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kutiba ala ibn Adam, that it has been prescribed upon the upon the son of Adam, Haduhu Minazinah, that he avoids zina. Edraka Belike Le Maha Le Mahaletun. That it had been prescribed upon the son of Adam that he avoid some zina, which he there's no doubt that he would do it. So it's been prescribed that he avoids it, even though it's saying, even though there's no doubt if he doesn't avoid it, he'll do it. And that is فَزِنَا الْعَيْنَيْنِ النَّظَرُ. Thus the zina, or the fornication of the two eyes, is looking. Goes along with the sayings of Jesus, meaning that fornication is just not you doing the act, that even if you look and think about it, it's fornication. It's the fornication of the eyes. So there's no doubt that the son of Adam will do that, even though it's been prescribed that he avoids it. Wazina Elisan, Wazina Elisani Anatku, and the fornication of the tongue is speaking about it, talking about it. Even if you don't do the act, you're talking about it. And this goes with some things we have been reading in the Quran also. Wazina El Udunaini El Istiamat. And the zina of the ears is you listening to it. Wazina el-yadayn, and the fornication of the two hands, el-batsu, that you strike or touch with your hands. You touch or feel it or grab it. Wazina al-rijlayn, and the fornication of the two legs, El-Khuta, is that you walk. You walk to it or walk with it. Wa-Nafsu Tamanna Wa-Tashtahi. And the soul, it wishes and desires. So if you're fornicating with the eyes or with the tongue, ears, or with your hands or your feet or your legs, what have you, then your soul is going to wish and desire it. It's going to influence your soul. So you're looking at it, you're talking about it, you're listening to it, it's going to affect Allah. Is saying, the Prophet is telling us here, it's going to affect your soul, and your soul is going to desire it. Well, Fanaju, you Satiku. Dalika, and your private part is going to confirm that, or it's going to reject it, depending on your moral strength. So there's a lot can be said from this. But if we're going to have a society that's going to be influencing and enticing through the form of dress, since we're talking about dress, that's the subject, and it's going to bring about these desires in the soul, then your private part is going to confirm it, or it's going to reject it based upon you being a believer or not. We even have young people now. First thing they want to say is, don't judge me. I don't want to be judged. I want to do as I please and not be judged. No, Allah said, judge by what has been revealed. We want a society. First, we don't want to adhere to the Quran and these hadith. They're simple. And then we have a society that does not adhere to it. Then we have the situation we have now in our society. We all know and we all see it. Because we have not accepted these teachings. We don't accept it. The patience is running out to continue to have conversations with people who don't accept this religion when they have heard it over and over. Muhammad the Prophet didn't do that. There were people, they said that they were Muslim, but they had the nature of a hypocrite. He didn't call them hypocrites, but he didn't pay them much attention. He got to where he was dealing with the believers only. He was holding the believers accountable. He was not holding the hypocrites accountable. He was not holding disbelievers accountable. He was holding the believers accountable. We can't keep having dialogue with people who say they're believers and they continue to reject the Quran when it's being read to them, when it's being presented to them. Maybe it could be this. Maybe it could be that. That's the nature of the hypocrite. Stand what you're saying. What we're saying today is too simple for you to say, I don't understand. And too many examples in the world to say, I don't understand. So we will leave it there, and we will look on the side of the woman, the verse dealing with the woman, next week. But this is the man. And it's simple. So I'm going to allow anyone that may have a question, you can push one now on your phone, and that will put you in the studio if you have a question or a comment. Anyone have a question or a comment? Push one, and that will put you in the studio. Air code 718, do you have a question, please?
Yes, sir, Brother Imam. Last week in your presentation on in Surah 21:14, there was a part towards the end of that ayat that said, Kul Rabbi, and, say my Lord, and then advance me in knowledge, was the English translation to that. And you made the comment that that Rabbi had a Kesra beneath it instead of, and it wasn't followed by a Yah, Kesra beneath the Ba.
Right.
And you said, this is my Lord, my personal Lord, as opposed from anyone else's. Whereas if the Ba had been followed by Yah, then it would mean my Lord along with everyone else's Lord. Could you expound on that a little more? That was the first I've heard. That was very new to me.
Yes, the idea of, because it's short, the Yah, one of the functions of the Yah is to extend what you're speaking of. It extends it. The word, I would say, exaggerates. It exaggerates the idea or the thing itself. It exaggerates it. So when you say Rabbi, even in sound, if I say Rabbi, I'm extending the sound, right?
Yes, yes.
I'm also extending the idea. I'm exaggerating the idea of Lord. So if it's just my Lord, even in, listen to the sound, Rabbi.
Right.
If I want to say my Lord, but your Lord too, right?
Right.
Rabbi.
Right.
Rabbi. I'm extending it. It's in the sound.
Right.
So I'm extending it now.
Right.
Yes. Well, Rabbi, meaning my Lord and the one I'm talking to. Rabbi. I'm extending it to everyone or to you or to, I'm not just saying just Mike. Like, if my mother and your mother is the same mother, I wouldn't say my mother, and you shouldn't get the feeling as though, oh, it's not your mother.
Right.
You understand?
Yes.
I say my mother, but you say it's my mother too. So I don't say our mother. I'll say my mother said, but I said in a way that it's your mother too.
Right, right.
You see it?
Yes.
But if I say it short, Rabbi, it's too short for me to, the sound, just the sound is not stretching out to include you.
Right.
So it's short. So
Rabbi. Right.
Right, it's not going too far, right?
Right.
But Rabbi is going further.
Oh, yes.
Being extended.
Right. Alhamdulillah. That's good. That's because it's not. I looked at it because it's not. It's not following there's no reason for it to be genitive, you know, because it's following a command, a verb, kul. So, you know, I appreciate that. That was good. That was good.
Yeah.
Also, another question I have, me and some other guys, we study together, and we came across this, the two words, kalaka and ja'ala. And we were trying to look at the difference between the two, and what we came upon was that kalaka is to create from nothing, you know, to create when there's no pattern, no original pattern. Ja'ala is to create or to make something when there's already an existing pattern. Could you expound on that? Let us know if we're on the right track.
Yes, you're on the right track. Halakha is to create without there being an existence, a previous existence, a pattern, and ja'ala is to make. You can make it from something. They both have the idea of creating, but like a computer. The computer is not created, it's made. It's made from what was already existing. We already had a monitor, right? We already had a keyboard. We already had a TV. We already had the calculator.
Right.
Some of these I was saying last time. So we already had these things. So he didn't create them.
Right.
But if you bring about the computer and there was no monitor, there was no keyboard, then that's more of creating.
Right.
But he already had, the idea was already existing. He just expanded it into where we made the computer from what was already existing.
Right.
Halakha, there was no model or existence.
Right.
There was no monitor. There was no TV. There was no keyboard. There was no calculator. He brought it all about. And he called it the computer.
Right. Alhamdulillah.
So in a sense, there are some, we say create for that. Ebda'at, there's another one is, not Ebda'at. Ebda'at is to begin something, to originate something. And then you have also Wajada'at. Wajada'at is something that exists, but you discover, you find it. You didn't create it, but it's a finding that you get from studying the creation or things in the creation. You find, it's the finding. The greatest finding that we have is when we find the thing in creation and it connects us with Allah. This is how we find Allah, through creation. We don't find Allah himself.
Right.
It's the findings that we find in creation that help point us to Allah. So that's another idea, kind of an idea of finding. It's not,
right.
He's not creating it. It's a finding. But even the idea of creation, Allah creates, and we just find what he creates.
Right.
You know, we find these principles and things, but they're already in creation. So that's why these words can get very, they're very close. To create, to make, to originate, to find. These four words, they're very close.
Right, right.
But they have different connotations.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Alhamdulillah. And one last thing. I'd like your comment on this. Now, with command verbs, when they have a weak letter and it is the last letter, of the verb. It's the third letter, third root letter of the verb, and it's a weak verb, a weak letter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like you to let me know if I'm correct or what. And if it's dropped in the, and if this is only in the command form, then it is replaced with the next letter has a dhamma on it. If what was dropped was a waw, or the next to the last letter has a fatha on it. If what was dropped was the weak alif, or the next to the last letter has a kesra on it. If what was dropped was a ya, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So when the weak letter is dropped, and these letters then have one of these three vowel signs on them, then they're going to be the last letter in that present construction,
yes,
of the word, correct?
In the command of it, yes.
Yes, they'll be the last.
The vowel is going to be the last. You don't have the sukun, you're going to have the vowel.
Okay.
Dhamma, fatha, or kasra.
Right.
Now, if you have a sukun on the letter, because it's about reading the Quran, right? If
right.
there's a sukun on the letter, and you only have two other letters, like zid, it's two letters, then you know the del is a solid, there is no, the missing letter is not a weak letter on the end. The weak letter has to be either in the middle or at the beginning.
Right. What was the example you just gave? What was that word again?
Like zid, the word we just talked about, zid.
Kul, oh, okay,
like
yeah.
Kul,
yeah.
B.
Right.
Kul,
right.
Say. So you
right.
have kul.
Right.
Kul has a sukun on it.
Yes.
But it's only two
yeah.
letters. So the third letter is a weak letter that was dropped, but the weak letter is not on the end.
Okay.
Because
okay.
the sukun is on the end of a solid letter.
Okay.
So the weak letter has to be in the middle or at the beginning.
Okay. Okay, alhamdulillah.
If you treat it like that,
right.
look for it in the middle first and then look for it on the beginning first.
Right.
The week later.
Right.
Okay,
alhamdulillah. Shukran.
Okay.
Thank you, brother, man.
Alhamdulillah. You're welcome. Area code 973, you have a question or a comment?
Yes, assalamu alaikum. I have a question about Surah 17, Ayat 62. It's a word there. It's a verb. And I was having trouble trying to understand.
What is it again? 17?
Yeah, 1762.
1762. Let's let everybody take a look and see what... Okay, and you're asking about what word now?
Ra'ataka. It's the second
call word. Call that ra'ataka. Right?
Yes.
Ra'ataka. Now, what's the question?
I originally thought that the ka was the object of the verb, but it doesn't seem to work out that way.
Yes, that's the object of the verb.
So how would you? How would that be? You saw you.
Yeah, that's a good question. Let me think about that for 1 second. It'd be a question. The ad asked the question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ra'ata, have you seen? Yes. Have you seen you, right? That's what it's saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen you? It don't sound right. So
no,
you would have to say, have you seen that you? You have to say that you. Have you seen that you? right?
Yes.
Have you seen you, meaning have you seen what you have done?
Oh, okay. All right.
Have you seen what you did? You see it?
Yes, yes, okay.
It doesn't make sense if you do it literally. Have you seen you? Have you seen you? Have you seen you? Not have you seen me, right? You say, I saw you. Mm-hmm. No, have you seen you? Have you seen your own
okay.
self?
Okay, right? now it's making sense now, yes.
Then you say this, الذي كرمت علي. This is that which you have above me. The man was in court. He was in court with his brother. And he was a mechanic. He was supposed to be an electrician, and he knew how to fix the cars, the electrical problem, hook up the radio and everything, and the car burned up. He drove for 2 days. Somehow the wires got short. He burned the car. He took him to court. He said, but your honor, he's talking to the brother, have you seen, he's talking about me. So he say to the brother, have you seen you? You went to the Mexicans over me. He took the car to the Mexicans over me. These African Americans, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he said to the brother, no, it's not about me. It's not about how you see me. It's have you seen you? Have you seen your actions? That this is what you honored over me. You see the speech?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
Alhamdulillah. That's a good question. Yes, you're welcome. Okay, that concludes for tonight. Inshallah, we hope to see you this weekend in the classes. And we pray that you also visit us next week as we take a look at the women and the verses addressing the women. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum.